Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. Noel, thanks for that introduction. I got to say, it's really been a great week just spending time with you and Sharon and the family, and just seeing Eddie and Vicky and everybody. But I love you, Noel. You know, it's been a long journey. We're 27 years on the road now, and personally, I'm really, really blessed to stand alongside you, shoulder to shoulder, and seeing God moving in Dublin. It's the desire in my heart for many, many years. It's been a vision I've had to come back into Ireland for many, many years. I've been away, and to come home here for the last year and so, to travel around the country, and now to work with you, Noel, and to see old friends here, I really do thank God, and I mean that from the depth of my heart. It means more than words can say here this morning. I think you know that now. We've had a great week. I've been on the road for just over 3 weeks now, nearly 30 days. So we've been in Scotland, travelling through Glasgow and Easter House and Drumchapel, and then we were in Belfast and the Shankill Road and on the Ardoyne and in different places in Belfast. And then we were in Drogheda and Mullingar and just on Bray with Noel, and just where else were we? We were in Bray. We're going to Clondalkin tonight, and we were in here yesterday and walking around the Liberties and Dolphin's Barn, and it's just been great going around seeing what God is doing. It's a long journey, you know. I think I've had one day off in the last 30 days. But, you know, God gives you the energy to do whatever it is he called you to do, no matter what your health is like. And I can say that because, you know, I've had a liver transplant and cancer and everything. You know, he gives you the strength to do what he's called you to do. That's a fact. But most of you don't find that out until you actually step out to do something. But listen, I quickly want to give you my message. Are you all well, yeah? Okay, some of you are lying to me. All right. And, you know, life is tough sometimes, isn't it? You know, it really is. But I want to talk to you just very quickly. Is there a clock that I can watch you? There is. I want to talk to you I want to talk to you about three people very quickly that are in the Bible. And the first person I want to talk to you about is Jonah. And I'm trying to talk to you this morning about three different types of attitudes that we can have. We'll all recognize them because we all have them. But we have to develop in our Christian lives that a particular attitude will be preeminent. The Apostle Paul speaks about in Philippians, he said, I've learned the secret of being content, whether I'm abased or whether I abound, whether I'm empty or whether I'm full, whether I have nothing or whether I have everything. And that's the secret of prosperity. You know, prosperity is not just about finance. Prosperity is about the soul. Your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. And to have vision for your life, you need to prosper in your soul. You've got to be focused for what your future holds for you. There's so many treasures in our future. There's so many wonderful things waiting for us just around the corner. But our life has battered us so much that quite often we're more conscious of expecting the negative than we are of expecting the positive, godly, prosperous things to happen in our emotions and in our life. We're not expecting good things to happen to us. We think that bad things are going to happen to us. Who identifies with that? Okay, can I share with you, and I ask you just to open up your hearts this morning. Please just open up your hearts. I'm not going to hurt you, but I'm going to bring in a little bit of a challenge to you, and it'll be a blessing for you. And I believe that you'll leave here this morning greatly encouraged, knowing that massive, wonderful thing is going to happen just around the corner for you. This church is amazing. 1,500 hampers. We have a church with 1,500 people in it. Almost 2,000 people in our church, actually, are in England. And we're not doing 1,500 hampers. We don't have a budget for it. We're doing other things, okay? We do lots of other things. But we don't have a budget for 1,500 hampers. And to see Liberty Church here in Dublin City Centre do 1,500 hampers is such a blessing for me to hear. And I'm going to go back to, I'm in Paul Scanlon's house in 2 nights' time. We were going around there for Christmas dinner. I'm going to tell Paul and Glenda Scanlon that there's a church in Dublin called Liberty Church, run by Noel and Sharon Kenny. And they're doing 1,500 hampers in Dublin City Centre. And I say, come on, let's begin to believe for more and reach in Bradford, the city that we live in. You know, because, man, if you can do it, we can do it. Isn't that right? So it's about attitude. It's about believing God's promises that we can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. 1,500 hampers is more than you can ask, think, or imagine. For someone to give you 1,500 chickens... Oh, that's not to be clucked at, is it? 1,500 chickens. Are they going to be dead when you get them or alive? All right. I was imagining 1,500 chickens running around here and just having to kill them all and everything, feather them. And... So that's amazing. So listen, let me quickly get into the Word, okay? And because I want to give a time for prayer at the end as well. So Jonah, I'm going to read from chapter 1. So if you're with me in it. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now just give me your attention for a minute. Often God gives us something to do. And quite often, for us to do the thing he wants us to do, we've got to change a particular attitude that we have towards life. And sometimes we don't want to sacrifice something. You know, maybe God has put it on your heart. Maybe there's somebody that you know in here. And when Noah was talking about somebody being given 50 euro for petrol or for Sweeties, which is a great story. Maybe there's somebody you know in here this morning that you know needs something. And you were challenged to give them 20 euro or 10 euro or more maybe. But your attitude is, you know, I can't trust God to do that. Or I need this money for something else. And it's a challenge. So you're running away maybe from God saying that to you. And that's what Jonah did. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, so he was sacrificing. He was even using his personal finances to run away from the Lord. He was so desperate to get away from the call of God that he was using his own hard-earned money to leg it away from what God wanted him to do. So he went down to Joppa and after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. So everybody's crying out to their own God. The country was in trouble. The city was in trouble. Everybody's crying out to their own God. But the person who was serving that one and true God was running and he was afraid before man to stand up and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's provider, he's the God of breakthrough, he's the God of peace, and he's the God of salvation. He was afraid to do it. So he used his personal income to invest in running away from the Lord. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. The captain is like a type of the Holy Spirit. And if you're running away from God, you'll feel your attitude challenged, where the Holy Spirit will be waking you up in the middle of the night, talking to you about a stinking attitude or stinking thinking or a bad attitude that you might have. And he'll waking you up and said, he's saying, how can you even sleep when people around you are perishing? And I've called you to do this thing. And you're investing your time and your energy and your finances to do stuff that is the opposite of what God wants you to do. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. So they cast lots and it fell on Jonah. God has got a way of reaching us through other individuals who will, they won't be casting lots or throwing dice over us maybe, but you know, they will talk to us. They come, somebody will have a word for us that'll challenge us because we cannot. The calling, the gifts of God are irrevocable. They're without repentance. And somehow or other, God has got a way of getting to us. And let's move on a little bit. Verse 9, he answered and said, I am Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do? What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied. He was so desperate now, he realized that his disobedience to God was causing calamity within his own family, within his own neighborhood, and everybody around him was beginning to feel the negative effects of his investing in running away from the Lord. And God was only wanting him to change his attitude so as everybody within his sphere of influence could receive blessing. I want you to just look at verse 14. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. You're praying to God that the storms in your life will calm down. But in many personal ways, and God's a gracious God. God loves us and he's got a wonderful plan for our lives. But God, in the night seasons, you're waking up and you're thinking about maybe one or two areas of your life you need to get together. You're thinking about one or two habits that you need to get together, and you're calling out to God. All you want is a little bit of peace. All you want is just for God to move in your life, to give you a little bit of rest and a bit of peace between these two things. Your head is wrecked. Your life is broken. And God is trying to get to the heart of your soul, where maybe there's an attitude that needs changing, or a habit that needs putting away, or maybe a new habit that's good for you that needs putting into place. And I ask you graciously this morning to consider, are you like Jonah? Is there something that God is trying to pinpoint in your life? Maybe something he wants you to begin doing, like he wanted Jonah to begin doing something, sharing the gospel. Maybe God is asking you to volunteer in church here. Maybe to come and help out with the hampers, or to join Sean down in the lighthouse, or to help with some of the outreaches that you're doing in the church here. The vision for 2016 for Liberty Church is to reach out into Dublin City and to begin to reach the communities and to begin to work with people who are addicted, who are broken, who are lost, who are destitute, who are depressed, and they're crying out to God in their private homes. There's calamity, there's brokenness within all their homes around Dolphin's Barn and in Bray and in Clondalkin. And God is looking for people to die to self so that these people who are struggling don't die themselves. So maybe you're like Jonah this morning. And if you are, I ask you, you know, for the peace to come into your life, throw yourself overboard into the arms of Christ. And I promise you that peace beyond human understanding will come into your life. Now, quickly, I want to take you to another person. She's found in Matthew 15. Okay. I had my marker here, but it's fallen out. So Matthew 15. Here we are. Matthew 15, this woman was the Syrophoenician woman. Or if you have the NIV, she's just called the Canaanite woman. It's in verse 21 of Matthew. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, saying, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request has been granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now this woman, she was a Canaanite woman. Jesus had come first to reach the Jews. We know in John 1:12 that it says, Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to those who received him, he gave them the right or the authority to become children of God. So the time of the Gentiles or the Canaanites had not come yet. It was the season for reaching the Jewish people. And it wasn't the time of Gentiles. So they were outside of the present vision or plan that Christ had at that particular date. The Canaanites or the Gentile people were not within the remit of what Jesus had to do at that time. But Jesus is not necessarily moved by seasons He's moved by compassion. And this woman who came to him, her daughter was demon possessed. She knew that Jesus was the only man on the face of this planet that had a complete authority over all the powers of darkness. So she came to him and she called out to Jesus in faith and she said, "Master, please help me. My daughter is demon possessed and she needs to be set free." Jesus told the woman, and first of all, look at the attitudes of the disciples. The disciples didn't want to work with her. They thought she was less than worth reaching. So they were turning away from the call of God to reach these people because they thought this is not the season to reach these people. So they were saying, which is typical of the disciples, "Send them away. They're too much bother. She keeps annoying us and calling out to us." But the woman persevered. Do you have an attitude that even though you feel it's not the season in your life for certain things to happen, Maybe the season to prosper. Maybe it's not the season that you think for breakthrough to happen for your daughter or for your son. Maybe there's calamity happening in your household. But I guarantee you this, if you're like this woman and you press in, even though you might not feel the favor of God on you, if you can develop an attitude to press in and call out to God and say, God, I know it might not be the season for you to reach my family, but I have faith that I can change the seasons. It might not be summer, it might be winter in my life, but I want the Son of God to shine upon my life and to give me the breakthrough that I need. So God, I'm calling out to you that you change the season in my life and you let heaven shine in my family, that we'll get the breakthrough now instead of it being next year or the year after. So you need to rise up on the inside, get on your faces, on your knees before God, pray out for breakthrough for yourself, for your family, for your husbands and your wives to be saved, for your children to be saved and set free, that we'll see the power of God of revival being poured out, that you guys who are leading worship, you sense the anointing of God coming upon you, that God will give you songs. Why can't songs of liberty and freedom go right around the world from this church? Why not? It can't be. Why can't be? I believe that our band in church wrote a song. It was released, a Christmas song, last week. It's number one in iTunes charts this week from our church. Why can't we do it here in this church as well? Let's increase our faith for the season of favor come into our life. So you can be like that Syrophoenician woman and seeing breakthrough happen. Amen? It's all about attitude. So that's Jonah, and then we have the Syrophoenician women. And finally, the other person I want to talk about is in Luke 1, and I might have mentioned this before, but I just feel to mention it again. Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1, and I want to talk to you about John the Baptist's father. His name was Zechariah. Okay, in verse 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God. Now look at me a minute. Both of them were upright in the sight of God. Because of what Christ has done for us, we are the living, breathing righteousness of God here on earth. I know that because it says it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It said, he who had no sin became sin so that we through him could become the righteousness of God. So we are the righteousness of God. So when God looks at us, he sees his righteousness. He sees that we are upright before God. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were upright before God. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. So they were walking with God. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Just give me your attention a minute. Do you have something lacking in your life and you're wondering why you're not getting an answer to your prayers? We all of us experience this at some stage in our Christian walk. You wonder, I'm walking with God. I'm blameless in all my ways. And when I do blow it, I ask God to forgive me. And I wonder why my prayers are not being answered. And here, it's all to do with attitude. Just follow with me a little bit. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, this was Zechariah. There was over 30,000 priests serving in the temple. And of Zechariah's particular job to bring incense, Revelation 5:8 says the incense is the prayers of the saints. So when you're praying, God doesn't hear just English or Irish or Japanese or whatever your first language is. He hears what comes off our heart, our brokenness as we call out to God. It's like a fragrant offering of incense that comes up, floats up into the throne room of God and gets like a sweet smelling fragrance in the nostrils of a holy God. And he's moved with compassion and answers our prayers. That's why if we're just muttering nonsensical prayers, it's not an incense. It's just bouncing off the ceiling. We got to pray from brokenness. We got to pray from passion. We got to pray from a place of great desire. We got to delight ourselves in the Lord until he gives us the desires of our heart. So we must pray the desires of our heart, praying for the lost and praying for the people in Dublin and Bray and Clondalkin to be fed this Christmas, to have presents for their kids this Christmas, that we'll have them ourselves as well. So there were 350 people in Zechariah's particular family of priests who could have been picked to serve God by bringing that incense before the altar of incense in the holy place. And by casting lots, Zechariah was chosen. Man, this was the biggest day of Zechariah's life. He was chosen to serve God. This was a huge thing in his life. Him and Elizabeth would have been blown away. They would have had the fear of God in their hearts, because they, as Levites, would have been aware that Leviticus 10 says that Aaron's two sons, who were called Nadab and Abihu, they approached God with strange fire, incense that was their own. And they approached God with this incense, and fire came out of heaven and burnt them. Right? God's not going to do that to any of you. That was the Old Testament, right? We're in New Testament. But God burnt them. So Aaron, who was living in Old Testament times, was aware that if he approached God with strange fire or with a wrong motive in his heart, he could be in serious trouble. So he would have approached God with fear, but he knew he was upright and blameless before God, like we know it in this church. He had been praying that he and his wife would have a baby, and he'd been hoping that his prayer would be heard. So he's approaching. His day came. All the people are standing outside in the outer court in the temple. Zechariah, who must have been terrified, had to walk into the holy place, past the brazen altar, past the laver, in through the curtain into the holy place. There's no light in that place at all, except from the menorah, the seven-pronged candlestick, which would have been on Zechariah's left. The light that's shining in that, by the way, that's made of pure gold that was beaten with hammers, which stands for Christ's beaten body. And there were little holders on the end that had oil, which stands for the anointing of the resurrected Christ. And that was the only light that shone in that place. The first thing it shone upon was over the right-hand side of the holy place, which is the altar of showbread. And up at the top, just before the curtain for the Holy of Holies, is the altar of incense. And that's where Zechariah was heading. And he must have had the fear of God in him, walking up here, dark, except for this light flickering. And suddenly the angel Gabriel appears before him. Must have frightened the blooming life out of him. The angel appeared to him. And the angel says this to him. So you see where he's at, yeah? That's the angel Gabriel. Tell him you're at a church service and you'll talk to him afterwards, right? All right. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. So he's up at the top on the right-hand side of the altar of altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." So he's just to put the altar, which is the prayers of the saints. And the angel appears and says, "Your prayer has been heard, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." What an amazing promise of the Lord for Zechariah to hear just before he placed the prayers of the people waiting outside on the altar of incense. He's told that his own prayers, which were incense going up to God, have been heard. Is he prepared? Is his attitude ready to receive the answer, even though this man is walking upright and blameless before God? Look at Zechariah's response. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered and said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God Almighty, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Are you praying prayers as a man or woman of God? Are you walking upright and blamelessly? Are you a Christian leader? Do you have responsibility in the church here? You have responsibility already for your family as priests and priestesses in your home. Are you praying prayers, But are you praying prayers knowing that the incense from your heart is going up before God Almighty? But are you living in expectation for those prayers to be answered? Or are you looking at your personal circumstances? And like Zechariah, are you actually in the back of your mind saying, this prayer cannot be answered because of this logical situation in my life, it can't be answered. If you are like Zechariah, Zechariah's mouth was shut. The people who were sending their prayers up, they see, they were praying outside while Zechariah put the incense on the altar. So the incense going up would have been their prayers. And they were waiting for Zechariah to come out to make a proclamation of answered prayer over the people. But the angel Gabriel said to him, because you are, even though you're upright and blameless before God, your attitude is you actually don't believe that I'll answer these prayers. So when you go out before the people, you will have nothing to say whatsoever to them. So if we are preachers, or if we are men of God who are working with people on the streets, or we're bringing hampers out, we expect the anointing of God to be upon us. We have got to make sure that we're looking at the promises of God and we're lining up our thinking and our hearts and we're saying, along with the Apostle Paul, all the word of God, all the promises of God are yes and amen for the saints. And this is why Liberty Church can be a shining light throughout the whole nation. This is why when we sing the songs, what was that word you said? Or, O-R-E, was it? This is why when we're singing, we got to be saying, God, let your light shine in the darkness. Because we are a people who believe in the promises of God. And if any angel ever comes to us, we will be able to say, yes, we believe that even though we may be too old, we believe we can have children. Or even though we got no money in our pockets, we believe we can have an amazing Christmas. Even though we might not have the biggest budget in the world, we believe that we can reach the entire nation of Ireland and Zitoa, or whatever you call that place you're going to, and Africa and India and wherever else in the world you're going, that the light can shine from Liberty Church right around this goal, right around this world. Please do not be like Jonah, investing your time and your energy and your finances. We're running from God and spending your finances down in the pub when the offering dish goes around in church and you're holding back because you need to keep for your few pints or for your cigarettes or for your whatever it is that's still a life-controlling issue in your world. Invest everything that you have, body, soul, and spirit. We're asked one thing only by God, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And then immediately after, love our neighbor as ourselves. That is the call of God on every individual sitting in this church this morning. And I've watched Noel and Sharon being raised up in here from the last 27 years. We attended St. Mark's Church together back in the day in 1987 or 88, whatever it was. Watching Noel and Sharon getting being prepared and, you know, seeing Sharon singing in the worship band in St. Mark's and all the different ministries we're involved in. And I've seen a man and a woman with an attitude that absolutely refused to give in. I'm sure there's been many lessons that we've all learned as we've all pressed through, you know, but as I watched Noel and Sharon come in, it is an absolute blessing for me to see a church like this with satellite churches just beginning to appear all over this country. And for the congregation behind them, this is the type of attitude we need to have. This is the type of attitude we need to have. And I just want to pray this morning for everybody in here. You know, before I forget, I've got some books at the end that you can buy my life story. And that's all I say about that. But I want to pray with people in here. I want to say to you that God wants us to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Zechariah, later on, you know, when Elizabeth had the baby. And when Zechariah saw the evidence with his eyes, and he motioned in it with his hands that he would call the baby John. Only when he saw the evidence did his thinking and sign language line up with the promises of God. Don't wait for the evidence to appear before you line up your speaking and your believing with the promises of God. Be a people of faith and liberty that will believe for this nation to become a land of saints and scholars. My vision personally is for every single house in the country to hear about Christian recovery and to do seminars and retreats till everybody is equipped that we make the word recovery and the solution to addiction in this nation trendy again. And instead of talking about methadone, we're talking about methods of setting people free. Let's have the attitude of Mary. The same chapter, the same time, the same angel appeared to Mary and said something similar to her. Said, Mary, you're going to have a child. But she was a virgin. So in the natural, it was impossible, but she didn't question the angel like Zechariah. She said, tell me the strategy, Jesus. Tell me the strategy. How is it going to happen? And Mary, instead of doubting, instead of losing her voice, she sung a song to the Lord. She worshiped God. She praised Him. So let Liberty be a church that instead of questioning the angelic presence or instead of questioning the Word of God, let us sing a song in our heart to the Lord. And I want to pray for you this morning. I want people in here today just to bow your heads real quick. I want to pray for you. Whatever your attitude is in God, whatever your attitude is in life, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity of doing that now. Or if you backslidden, if you're running away from God, I want to give you an opportunity of giving your heart back to Christ and begin to take up the mantle of ministry once again to begin to turn this nation around like Jonah was, like Jonah eventually did. So with every head bowed and nobody looking around, if you've never invited Christ into your heart before, but you'd like to do it this morning and you know it's the right thing for you to do, it's almost like an angelic appearance in your world today. And there's a door being opened for you into the reality of the presence of God. I want to say a prayer for you this morning to invite Jesus into your heart to forgive your sin. If you'd like to pray that prayer with me this morning, just as every head is bowed, just raise your hand and let me see it so that I can pray with you this morning. I can see hands going up all over the place. More hands. There's some more people. Come on, lift your hands up. That's about 5 or 6. Any more people in here? Okay, I see more hands going up. Any more people in here? I'm just going to give you another second. But this time is the one and only time, the last time that you're going to pray this prayer. You're going to pray with all your might to invite Christ into your life. Are there any other people in here who maybe have been walking with God for a while? Those, you can put your hands down. Any other people who've been walking with God in your life and you've fallen away, you're running away from the call of God because family situations are tearing you down or the natural things in life are bogging you down. Please put your hand up that I can pray because you're going to get a breakthrough this morning. Loads of you. Some more of you. Come on, you've been running away from God. You might even be walking upright with God like Zechariah was, but you're not believing for your prayers to be answered. Put your hand up. Loads of you. Okay, can the band come up just real quick? I know the kids are going to come out now in a minute. Is that okay? No, can I do that? Okay, those of you who want to invite Christ into life, come on up first. Come on, stand up here in front of me. Be bold. And then those of you who want to recommit your lives to God, come up and stand behind them. And maybe some of the prayer team can come up and join me. Trish, will you help me as well? Now I'm going to ask God to come with all His power to give us breakthrough. I'm going to pray like it's real incense going up before God. Come on, all of you, put your hands up. Come on, come out in the front. Let's believe for a breakthrough in your lives this morning. There's ministries going to be rebirthed here this morning. There's order going to come into some of your families. There's breakthrough going to come into your mentalities. Some of your stinking thinking is going to vanish and you'll wonder where it's gone after this morning. Demons are going to leave your lives like the Syrophoenician woman. Her kids get set free. You might not feel it's your season, but we have made it your season this morning. Today is your day for salvation. There's a people waiting outside, waiting for you to come out with a proclamation of the grace of God and the power of God and the glory of God and the freedom that God can give you. You guys just go. I'll flow with you. Sing whatever's in your heart. So let's all pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me. You shed your blood for the forgiveness of my sin. Lord, I give my life to you. I give you my body. I give you my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. I give you my spirit. And I ask you to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Heal me of all my diseases. Heal me of all my pain, of all my rejection. I give it all to you, Lord God. And I say, God, keep me alive that I may serve you. Help me never to run from you. I call in your season into my world. And I declare, I believe that as I delight myself in you, you will answer all my prayers. Lord, save this nation. In the name of Jesus, save Dublin. Use me. In the name of Jesus. Just keep your eyes closed. Okay, go for guys. Father, I pray for everybody standing here. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and let your blessing come upon us all. For those of you who speak in tongues, just begin to do it. Lord, I pray that you come by the power of the Holy Ghost and that you sovereignly touch people. We command sickness and brokenness to come out of people in the name of Jesus. You devils, we know that we're known in hell. And we take authority over you. Come out of people in the name of Jesus. Let them go with depression. Let them go with sickness. Let them go with brokenness in the name of Jesus. Let the season for their children come into place now. That those who are bound in addiction, let it come out of families in the name of Jesus. Every family represented in this church, we pray the blessing of God to come upon them. We pray it like it's real incense going into heaven. And we ask you today, let there be angelic appearances in our homes. That our families will be changed and moved by the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord.